If you would draw a diagram, a schematic for the distribution of email on the internet, it would resemble the telegraph systems of Victorian England. That's the thesis of a book by Thomas Standage, who says the telegraph in the late 1800s became so valuable, especially for business, that traffic jams resulted, backups at the telegraph offices. Standage says the busiest link was between London's central telegraph office and the stock exchange. Something had to be done.
The problem is, when you've got a congested link and you've got these messages on slips of paper that are literally piling up on the floor, how do you deliver them more quickly? Well, one solution when you have this sort of emergency is you stick them all in a bag and you get a boy to run along the street with them. But this doesn't do much to inspire public confidence in your whizzy new communications technology. So another alternative is you could string up more telegraph wires between the central telegraph office and the stock exchange, and you could have skilled operators sitting there sending these messages. The problem is that when there's a lull, and when the markets close, you need to be able to predict the demand, and you may end up with these very highly skilled, highly paid operators sitting around with nothing to do. So what was needed was a way of sending messages over short distances that was much faster than actually telegraphing them. And the solution turned out to be to use pneumatic tubes, and the messages would be stuffed into these little tubes in special carriers, and they would be sent along by compressed air behind them, driven by steam engines.
This is the same kind of thing that we've seen in the old days in department stores in the U.S., pneumatic tubes.
And you still see it now. When I was in the New York Public Library researching the book, they have exactly the same system. You see this at department stores for getting the cash away from the cash tills quickly. Every now and then you will see the cashiers stuffing the money into a carrier and sending it up into a tube. It's also used to send blood samples around in hospitals. So this technology is still being used today.
And let's take the same idea on to France and to Paris, where they really like the idea there and started building pneumatic tubes all over the city and bypassed the telegraph.
They set up this terrific system in Paris. It was one of the most elaborate pneumatic tube systems. And you could post messages into special boxes on the street, or you could drop them into mailboxes on the back of trams. And when they got to the end of the line, they would be dropped into the network. They would whiz along to the local sorting office. They would then take out these little cards. They were sort of like postcards, and figure out where they were going to go. And then they'd be stuffed into another tube. And there was this little sort of network under the whole city, and it was the most elaborate of its kind. You could send messages very quickly from one part of the city to another.
Now the idea, though, in Paris was the special thing is that you're receiving the exact same piece of paper that somebody sent to you. It could be a very long message. It doesn't go through the telegraphic system.
Yes, but the nice thing about it was that unlike the Morse code telegraph, for example, where you actually fill in the telegraph form, you give it to the telegraph operator, and they go tappity-tappity-tap and send it down the line. I mean, when this first started happening, people were very confused that the form they filled in didn't seem to have gone anywhere, because the telegraph operator would have sent the message. He'd then stick it on the sent spike, and people would come along and say, well, you haven't sent my message. It's sitting there, you know, I can see it. And they thought that the message would be rolled up and posted into the telegraph wire or something like that. I mean, they thought the message itself was physically sent, and it wasn't. That was the revolutionary thing about the telegraph, that it let you send information faster than you could send, a physical object. And what's neat about the pneumatic tube is you've gone back to sending the physical object rather than re-telegraphing it. The piece of paper that I write my message on when I send you a pneumatic telegram is the exact piece of paper that you end up with when it's delivered to you.
The pneumatic tube system becomes popular also in New York. There's a big, elaborate web built in New York going
over. Yes, the New York system's very interesting. It has quite a large diameter. The first British and French systems were quite small in comparison, and the New York system was used to send quite large packages of mail, of regular mail, between post offices. And it was large enough, in fact, that a cat was once sent from one post office to another, and it came out a little dazed, but none the worse for wear. And so it was actually large enough to send cats, which I think is something you couldn't have done with the Paris system.
Now, can one conjecture that the telegraph system worldwide survived because of this sort of adjunct pneumatic tube system in the big cities of the world?
Well, not really. The two fit together very well. And in fact, there were a number of ways in which you've got these different interconnected networks working together. They're not the same technology. You've got pneumatic tubes in some places. You've got the Morse telegraph in other places. You've got messenger boys on bicycles. You've got the needle telegraph system going on in Britain. And really, the point is that all of these systems are capable of passing messages around. They all dealing with a single unit of currency, the telegram, as it were. And so what you've got is an interconnected network of networks, and that is literally an internet.
Dom Standage, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.
Dom Standage, a journalist with The Economist in London. His book, The Victorian Internet, is now in paperback.